Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Today we're going to start a brand new three-part series this morning, a message series that we're calling Fear Not. Fear not. Anybody ever struggle with the area of fear? Struggle with the area of worry? I think there's lots of different things. I think there's things that come up as you look around. There could be things that come up in the media, things that come up politically, things that come up maybe in your job, economically, things that come up in your family. Could be health kind of things. There's all kinds of different things that can come up in our lives that can create fear, that can cause fear in us. And the reason that we're looking at fear, you say, why are we looking at fear right now? Because when we take a look at the Christmas story, there's actually three different times in the Bible where angels came and they have visited three different people or groups of people. And one of the things that they said when they made these visitations, when they were coming with their announcement, when they were coming with the information that they came to share, they would say what? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And so we're going to take a look at those different stories. And I don't know about you, I've never had an angel appear to me. Anybody ever had an angel? I've never had an angel appear to me. But what I see in Scripture is very different than what Hollywood portrays. I mean, oftentimes when we think about angels, we might think of, you know, these cute little baby angels, you know, or these night, they have wings and they're all nice and they play the harp and they're on clouds, and maybe you think of their little naked behinds or something like that, or something Cupid-like, I don't know. There's all kind, or perhaps, you know, similar to Hallmark or Touched by an Angel, it's just somebody looks very much like us that appears in our life out of nowhere, and they appear in and they appear out of our life and they help direct and make sure that certain things go well and all. But I'm going to tell you, when the Bible speaks about angels, angels were not these nice little creatures. Angels were warlike creatures. All right. When the Bible talks of angels, were huge. They were warlike creatures. There's only two angels that were named in the Bible, Gabriel and Michael. And these are angels that they were huge. They are warlike creatures. So when an angel showed up to visit, when an angel came, let me tell you something. You weren't going, oh, how cute. Oh, can you play your harp? Oh, how wonderful. It wasn't that they were unrecognizable, just like an average person that came. They were warlike, and you thought, oh my goodness, the angel of death has come for me. I have seen God. Woe is me. Like Isaiah said, woe is me. And so when angels came, one of the things they would often announce is, whoa, 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 do not be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. And so today we're going to take a look at those words, fear not. We're going to look at this. We're going to look how the angel appears. Today we're going to look at how the angel appeared to a teenage virgin girl by the name of Mary. Next week we're going to look at the counterpart to that story when he appeared to Joseph. And next week we're going to talk about the fear of dealing with what other people think about us. How many of you struggle with that one? Worrying about what somebody else thinks about you. Don't lie to me. It's all over social media. Right? But today we're going to take a look at the fear of what God has planned for us. Because believe it or not, there are some times when maybe we treat God like we treat some of those annoying people in our lives. You know, the people that when they call and you see their number come up on the caller ID, you think, what do they want now? And you're like, I'm just going to let it go to voicemail so I can prepare myself and have a little space. Some of you are laughing, others of you are like, you're a terrible pastor. Do you really feel like that? Oh, come on. Shame on you. You do the same thing, right? You know what that, okay, it's not the phone. You're in the grocery store and you see that person. You're like, if I talk to that person, I'm going to be here for an hour. Oh, my goodness. I think I'm going down the other aisle, right? And maybe if I look down, they won't see me if I don't make eye contact, right? Is this too real? Some of you are like, oh my goodness, this is too real. If you're that holy, you can go in the foyer and polish your halo. You know, come on, we're talking to real people today, all right? Come on, real people. But you know what? Here's the deal. Some of us treat God that way. We treat God that way. We unknowingly can maybe we want enough of God. We want to get close enough to God because we want the good stuff. We want the blessings of God. We want the promises of heaven. We want the blessings, but we don't want to be surrendered to God enough for total access to every area of our life. Because, you know, if I'm completely surrendered to God, he might send me to Africa or something. Which, by the way, is not the worst thing. I was there in but, you know, there are just times in our lives where that can be the case, where sometimes we're afraid of what God might have for us. Maybe we're afraid, oh my goodness, if I totally surrender to God, then as a single person, he's going to help me. He's going to bring somebody in my life and they're going to be ugly and I'm not going to really love them or want to marry them, but that's the right person God has. Oh my goodness. We worry sometimes about what God might have, give up what I enjoy, all of those kind of things. And we have these fears that go in. God, what are your plans? Your plans are scary. I don't know if I want to totally surrender to your plans because your plans might make me give up something fun or it might not be good. And we can allow those kind of fears to overwhelm us and to keep God at a distance. You know, there's a lot of people that say that fear is the absence of faith. But I want to tell you, I don't know that fear is actually the absence of faith. I think it's faith, but fear is faith in the wrong things. You know, placing your faith in the what ifs. What if the economy falls apart? What if I lose my job? What if someone gets cancer? What if I never get married? Or worse yet, what if I marry a jerk and then that jerk and I have kids and those kids remind me of that jerk every day of my life and it goes on and on. And what if and what if and what if and what if? And we have our fears in the what ifs rather than our fear in God. When it comes to fear, I've got good news, though. The Bible talks about fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Perfect love casts out all fear, the Bible says. The Lord wants to deal with our fears. The Lord wants to work with our fears. The Lord wants to say, listen, fear not. I have not come so that you can be afraid. I have come so that you can trust in me. Because I'll help you through your fears. I'll help you through your fears. Fear not. And so I want to talk about the fear of what God might be asking us to do. And you see, when the angel of God appeared to this teenage girl named Mary, we see in there that her plans begin to change. And so why is it that we're often afraid of God's plans? And I want to just highlight just a couple of reasons. I think there's two in this story that we can pull out today that maybe are reasons why we are afraid of God's plans. Reason number one is this: God's interruptions are often inconvenient. His interruptions are often inconvenient. In fact, when God interrupts us, oftentimes it interrupts our plans. How many of you love interruptions? Anybody love interruptions? I don't like interruptions, but sometimes interruptions are not necessarily the worst things that happen. If we're going to see this in the story here, Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 26. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says this, starting in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. So I want to pause there for a moment because I want to talk about the timing here, because we get a bit of a timing in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Well, who was Elizabeth and why is she pregnant? That might be a question you ask, unless you've grown up in church and around these stories. But Elizabeth is Mary's relative. And if you know the story, Elizabeth was too old really to give birth. She was barren. She was unable to give birth. But her and her husband Zechariah, who was a priest of the Lord, really wanted a child. And Zechariah was in offering sacrifices as a priest when he was visited. When he was visited and he was told, "You're going to have a son and you're going to name him John." And he kind of questioned. He said, "Oh, I don't know how this is going to happen." And so he was mute for a while and couldn't talk. He had to write it down. What is his name going to be? And he wrote down John. John. John who? John the Baptist. John the Baptist that we see in Scripture that was a forerunner to the Messiah. What we see in this and what we have about this miraculous pregnancy that happened with Elizabeth and all of this is that God has plans. And we're just a part of the story. God has plans and we're a part of the story. If there's anything that I want you to understand when it comes around to your life and when it comes around this Christmas, is to remember something. And that is, your life is a part of a bigger story. You're part of a bigger story. You're part of a bigger plan. God has a bigger plan. And here, God had a bigger plan. And this plan was going along. And here it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. The angel visits this virgin girl by the name of Mary. And you have to understand something. What do we know about Mary? What is the context that we know? Well, chances are what many commentators believe, because they understand a little something about her culture, is that Mary was probably around 14, 15, or even 16 years old. She was a teenager. Because in that culture, once a girl would hit puberty, shortly after that, she would be promised or betrothed to be married. And that was the context, the culture in which she lived in. So we're talking about a teenage girl. And if you get into a young girl's mind, let's bring it up to the modern day. If a young girl is being is betrothed, she's engaged, she's ready to be married, what's she doing? She's on Pinterest, right? She's looking at the perfect wedding. She, you know, it used to be you get the wedding magazines and clip them all out. Now we have Pinterest and social media and websites. She's looking for the perfect, oh, what is this going to be? She's searching, trying to find creative ideas that's going to make the day special and unforgettable, and practicing signing her name and her husband's last name, you know, her new last name, and how's this going to look, and dreaming about what are our kids going to be, and we're going to have this kind, we're going to have a boy, and we're going to have a girl, and we're going to have a couple boy, a couple of girl, we're going to name them this, and we're going to name, and all these dreams, and all these plans, and all these things are going on, and I'm pretty sure that this is what was happening. Mary, it was an exciting time. She was betrothed to be married, and all of a sudden there's an interruption that comes. And what do we learn from this? What do we learn about God's interruptions? Well, what we oftentimes see as an interruption, God sees as an invitation. Some of you need to write that down. What we oftentimes see as an interruption, God sees as an invitation. And those are the times we oftentimes feel like God is interrupting me. Actually, he's inviting us to something higher. He's inviting us to something better. See, the God that we serve is a God of interruptions. You just need to know this. The God that we serve is a God that is a God of interruptions. You're going through your life, but there's a God who shows up with his plan. And oftentimes he is the God of interruptions. Just ask the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16. He was trying to go in one direction. He was trying to go to Bithynia. And all of a sudden the Spirit of Jesus, it says, would not allow him. I suspect that was a bit of an interruption. Later on, he found himself on an unexpected trip to Rome that really began because he got jailed in Jerusalem. That was an interruption. And then on the way, he got shipwrecked. So we have an interruption to an interruption. How many of you know God is a God of interruptions? In fact, the Bible is full of interruptions. From Genesis to Revelation, we can see how God is interrupting the lives of people so that he can work in his sovereign power, and according to Ephesians 1:11, work all things according to the counsel of his will. See, he's writing a story of redemption and a monument to his glory. And you and I are a part of a bigger story. And so as we go along, there might be opportunities, there might be times, there might be seasons where God is interrupting our life, but we can't see them as interruptions. We've got to begin to interpret them as invitations. You see, Moses, what about Moses? Here was Moses, he was out, he had failed in Egypt according to his own standards. He had fled away for his life and punishment that was coming for killing an Egyptian soldier and all of that. And he's out as a shepherd, and all of a sudden one day as he's just doing his daily routine and shepherding, there is an interruption to his life, and there is a burning bush that is not burning up. And he says, well, I've seen bushes burning in the desert. That's normal. But this one's not burning up. There's something different. And that's when God spoke to him and interrupted his life and invited him to a different plan. See, God is a God of interruptions. There might be an interruption like with Jonah, where God interrupted his workout as he was swimming off the boat. He jumped in the water and is swimming, and God interrupted his workout and swallowed him by a great fish to get a hold of his attention, to get him back on the right track so that he could go and preach to the city of Nineveh repentance, and God could have his plan of redemption worked out. These are dramatic things. Or in the New Testament, Saul killing off Christians, and here he is on his way to Damascus when there is an interruption of a great light that knocks him on the ground, and he's blind, and God is getting a hold of his life. How many are thankful that God got a hold of your life through a divine interruption that was really an invitation to new life, to salvation? See, God interrupts our plans. God interrupts our plans with an invitation to something better. But the reality is, some of us won't have the major burning bush stories, or we're not going to have the Jonah getting swallowed by the whale stories. Sometimes those interruptions are not big things. Sometimes the interruptions are just little things that happen in our lives, little decisions here and there, little things where we're called to rely on God, where we're called to obey God, where we're called to make a decision that might be different than what we're expecting. Paul Tripp puts it like this. He says, "You and I don't live in a series of big dramatic moments. We don't careen from big decision to big decision. We all live in an endless series of little moments. The character of life isn't set in 10 big moments. The character of life is set in 10,000 little moments of everyday life. It's the themes of struggles that emerge from those little moments that reveal what's going on inside of our hearts. You see, it's in these little moments where the rubber meets the road, where our faith is stretched, where we look down to see whether we're standing on the rock or the sand. Do we really believe that God is in control of the details of our life? Do we really believe that His grace is sufficient enough to get us through the day? Do we really believe that the gospel of Christ is powerful not only to save us for eternity, but to sustain and to strengthen us in the midst of life's interruptions? Do we really believe that Christ is enough to satisfy the deepest needs of our hearts?" You see, the interruptions of our life are really invitations to God's grace, invitations to be a part of what He's doing in His bigger story of redemption. They're invitations for us to be able to be a part of something that is a lot bigger than we expect. Why? Because His ways are higher than our ways, right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows better than we know. And you see, there are times where we just have to take a step back and begin to interpret the interruptions as invitations. Invitations to something different, something new, somewhere where God may want to do something that we would have never predicted. And you see, in this story, the angel appears to this girl who has her life kind of planned out before her. And he says, "You know what? I've got something different for you." What does the angel say? Verse 30, Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Mary," or in the King James Version, "fear not." The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God." Now, I don't know about you, and this is before she knows what's being asked of her, but when, you know, if the Lord's doling out favor, I want favor. How many want favor? The Lord is with you, highly favored one. But I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes God's favor looks a little different than what we think. God's favor looks a little different than what we think. And Mary, when she's thinking God's favor, she's thinking, "Oh man, you think say yes to the dress? Man, I'm a part of a Jewish wedding. Maybe this is going to be something where somebody's going to come along. They're going to want to film. God's favor is on. They're going to pay for the whole thing. We're going to have a big sell. This is going to be good. God's favor and His blessing is here. We've got the Jerusalem version of weddings of real people. And let me tell you something, it's going to all be paid for." And that isn't the case. In fact, what God had different for her, you might look and say, "Is that really your favor? How is that favor?" And that leads us to the second observation. Not only does God's interruptions are often an opportunity for invitation, but God's purpose is often different than your plans. God's purpose is often different than your plans. Luke chapter 1, 31 to 33 says this. This is, "You are highly favored, don't be afraid." And then the angel says this, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Can you imagine the swinging back and forth of emotions that Mary must be experiencing? I mean, here it is. "Greetings, highly favored one. Do not fear. The Lord is with you." Woohoo! The Lord is with you. "You're going to conceive and give birth to a son." "I'm not married yet." Okay. But that the Son of God is going to be the Son of David. It's the Messiah. I'm going to give birth to the Messiah. you know, like blowing. Here it is, her mind just kind of blowing. Like, how is all of this going to happen? I mean, I can imagine the emotional swing. I mean, if I conceive, and it's not by Joseph, I mean, that could look like adultery. How am I going to explain this to my parents? Oh, an angel appeared to me and told me, hey, you're going to have a baby. See, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah, you know, in that day and age, if you were pregnant out of wedlock, you could be stoned. I mean, that was serious business. So when you're talking about fear, you're saying, God, what do you have planned? What is this? This is an interruption. I have my life planned out. This was not in the cards. This wasn't in the plans. And again, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Why? Because we're a part of a bigger story, and God's interruptions are often invitations, and God's purposes are higher than our plans. We make our plans, but God's purpose is better. I mean, can you imagine how the conversation might go with Joseph? Hey, Joe, are you sitting down? I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Crazy, right? But that's what God does. God interrupted and God said, you're highly favored. But then what he began to lay out was like, this is different. I don't understand this. You know, and that's oftentimes where the interruptions come with us. They're different than our plans. We have our plans laid out. I'm going to work at this job, and I'm going to work this many years, and we're going to put this much in retirement, and then we're going to retire, and we're going to go over here, and we're going to go over there. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, something interrupts. Something happens that interrupts your plans, and it's like, I'm sorry, we don't have a position for you anymore. We have to downsize the company. You're going to lose your job right before Christmas. And you're like, what? Hold on a minute. Lord, I've been serving you. I'm doing my devotions. I've been tithing. I mean, I am trusting you. I don't understand this. How is this your favor? And then as you go along, you begin to find and you see God's hand and God begins to line up and he puts something in your heart and you go, oh man, you know what? I think he's calling me to start my own business. And you start to start your own business and then you find that business and you look back and you go, man, I would have never done that if this interruption hadn't happened. If this hadn't changed, I would have never done this. And you look back and you go, wow, God, you had it planned the entire time. You had a plan the entire time. You know, that's what happens. The things that we oftentimes think might be a curse oftentimes become a blessing when we begin to see them as an invitation, when we begin to trust the plan of God. You know, perhaps you're single and you were in a relationship with someone, you thought you were going to get married, and all of a sudden that just cut off, and it's like, oh, what happened to that? I thought it was a person I was going to marry. How did I, what is this? And then you find later on that there's somebody that you begin a relationship with, and you realize if you'd have got married to that person, you would have never enjoyed the blessing of this relationship. And you say, God, you had a plan. I didn't understand it. I wanted to fight against you, but God, you had a plan. God, your purpose was higher than my purpose. You see, that's what it is in our lives. God's plans are better. Why are God's plans better? Well, what was the series we talked about in November if you were here? Why? Because God is good. All the time. Yeah, God is good. And all the time. Yeah, and that's what we do when we begin to trust that God is good. We begin to trust that God's plans for our lives are good. We may not always understand it. We may not always get it, but worry and fret doesn't help. But when you begin to trust God, you hear the words that say, do not be afraid, for my ways are higher than your ways. And this might be different than what you have planned, but my purposes are better. My purposes are better. How do I know that? Because of some scriptures that give promises. One of my favorites, Jeremiah 29:11, is probably some of yours. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But God, these plans look like they're going to harm me. I mean, how can this work? I'm a virgin, God. I live in a culture that doesn't accept it. When you are pregnant before you are married, that is out of the order of what it is, and I could be stoned. God, this seems like you're out to harm me. This doesn't seem like it's good for me. And God says, no, 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 no. You've got to understand that when I'm in it, when it's part of my purpose and my plan, it is better because my plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. to give you hope and a future. See, God, we see it as an interruption. He sees it as an invitation to something better. The angel says, she says back to the angel, she says, how can this happen? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? You're wondering the same thing. God, what are you telling me? How is this going to happen? I don't understand. You know, oftentimes when it comes to those interruptions, we don't know how. We don't know what. We don't know what's coming. And we're like, oh, how? How is this going to happen? How can this be? I don't understand. This is impossible. I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How can this be? This is impossible. How many have ever thought that sometimes what God lays out before you, what God invites you to, is impossible? Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know. There seems to be all these obstacles. I don't know how this could ever work out. This is completely impossible. But I promise you that when God invites you to something, when he interrupts you with an invitation, he's got a higher purpose. And you look and you say, it's impossible. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this could ever, I don't see how this could ever be. He, you know, that we say it's impossible. Well, look at the angel's reply. Luke 1:35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age, for she has conceived a son. And in the sixth month of her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God. She says, God, how can this be? This is impossible. And the angel says, let me tell you something. You're going to be, this is not a human-sized thing that's going to be accomplished. You can't accomplish this in human ways. There's no way to humanly do this. This is a God-sized project. This is a God-sized project. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And let me tell you something. Your cousin Elizabeth, remember, who was barren, guess what? She's conceived and she's going to have a child. That is the picture that I'm giving you. Why? Why? Because I want you to know that nothing is impossible with God. And you know in the story what happens? Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. You know why? Because she needed her faith and courage that she had really heard from the Lord. There are times you have to take a look at what God's promises are, and you've got to go back and you've got to look at the stories in Scripture and all the ways that God has done the impossible in order for you to be encouraged sometimes when God is calling you and interrupting you to something that seems impossible. And that's what happened. The angel said, hey, this is not going to happen. This isn't a job for people. This is a job for God. It might be completely impossible to you, but listen, I am telling you that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Let me tell you something. I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to hang on to those promises. We need to hang on to those promises, especially when God's interruptions and the invitations are different than our plans and our purposes. We've got to begin to hang on and say, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you because I know your plans are good, and I know that this is something only you can do. Only you can do. This is something only you can do. You know, for some of you, that answer, that impossibility, that answer is going to come immediately when you're asking. But you know what? For others, oftentimes it's going to come through prayer. And it's going to come through just taking a step of obedience, faithful obedience, each and every day. Sometimes it takes moments. But there are some of you, you've been waiting on the promises of God for a while. It hasn't come immediately, and you've been waiting. You're saying, God, I still don't understand your plan. You have interrupted, but I still don't understand. And you are just continuing along going, God, I don't understand. You know, but God wants to do that. God wants to work in your life. You say, God, what do you have next? What are you directing me in this next season? For some of you, it might be a new ministry that he's calling you to do. For some of you, he might be calling you to go back to college and to change things up and take a step of faith there. For some of you, you know, it might be to reach out to someone that you know God's been putting it on your heart to reach out to, but you just haven't done it. You say, you know what, I've tried, all they do is resist. I don't want to try again. And God's saying, no, I want you to try again. I want you to try again. Listen, if God's asking you to take a step of faith, you need to remember something. This is an important reminder. Some of you need to write this down. Okay, because this is what it is. When it comes to what God's asking you to do, when it comes to the impossibilities of what God's asking you to do, you need to understand this. The outcome is God's responsibility. The obedience is yours. The outcome is God's responsibility. You're not responsible for the outcome. You're responsible for the obedience. We can't control the outcome. We can't control what may be. We don't oftentimes even know and can't figure out what God wants to do and how that works. The outcome is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is obedience. It's obedience. And I don't know how that'll play out for you, but you got to take the steps of obedience. For Mary, this is how she took the step of obedience. She said, how is this going to be? She got the explanation, but it didn't lay out how everything was going to happen. It didn't lay out like, oh, how is Joseph going to take the news? How are my parents going to take the news? How is the community going to take the news? I don't understand. I could be shunned. We could be on the outside. God, I don't have it all together, and I don't even know how this is possible, and you have interrupted my life. But here's how I'm going to respond to you. Luke 1:38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I am the Lord's servant. This teenage girl 2,000 years ago simply surrendered to the sovereign plan of God. God interrupted her with an invitation to a higher calling because his purpose was different than her plans. And in her mind, she couldn't conceive how it was possible, but she remembered one thing, and that is everything is possible with God. And I know that God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. His plans are better. His purposes are better. And you know what I am? I don't have control of my life. I am simply the Lord's servant. So you know what, God? Be it according to me. Be it done. Your will. Your will. Because you know what? The outcome, how this works out, you have a bigger plan. We're a part of a bigger story. That's your thing to figure out. But I'm going to be your servant, and I'm going to obey. I'm going to be your servant, and I'm going to obey. I am the Lord's servant. In other words, she's reminding herself of who she is. I belong to the King of Kings. How many of you can say that? Come on, I belong to the King of Kings. He's my Lord, and he's the one I serve. Even though I don't understand, even though I can't figure it all out, I know it's going to cost me. It's probably going to be harder than I can ever imagine. I can't even begin, but I belong to the King of Kings, and I belong to the Lord of Lords, and I am his child, and I am his servant, and I will simply be obedient. I will surrender. Let it be done to me according to your word, because I am yours. I am yours. I can trust him with the outcome. I'm going to be obedient. So I want to wrap this up this morning. Has God interrupted your plans? It probably hasn't been an angel. But it could be a circumstance. It could be a situation you didn't plan. It could be bad news. It could be something that's come up that you didn't even see coming. How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Remember that God's purpose is higher than your plans. And God's interruptions are oftentimes an invitation to something greater. You say, but Pastor, this doesn't seem possible. I don't know how this could possibly be. I don't know how it would work out if I did this and I took this step of faith, or I did this and I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't understand. You don't have to. You simply have to be obedient to the next step. You simply have to be obedient. What's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? But I'm afraid. Fear not. Fear not. But this doesn't look like the Lord's favorite. Sometimes it doesn't. But it's going to cost me. Yes, it does. But can you say like Mary, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me according to everything you have said. Let it be done to me. Some of you, it's time to take a step of obedience. I'm telling you, the messages God has been putting on my heart from All In to God is Good, there is something that God wants to do. I can't get away from it. I can't get away from it. Everywhere I turn in the scriptures, I see it. There's something that God wants to do, but I feel like we are held back sometimes, and we're held back by fear because we want to control it, and we want to know how it all figures out, and we want to be able to get it all together. And God says, I'm responsible for the outcome, but I'm inviting you to something better. Will you be obedient? Will you be obedient? Obedience precedes blessing. Obedience is costly. We look at communion. Jesus was obedient even to death on a cross. But his willingness to lay down his life opened up eternal life for everyone else. And when you are obedient to the Lord, even though it might be costly to you, out of your brokenness, going back to what the Lord put on my heart for communion, out of that brokenness can come blessing, can come a greater fruitfulness and opportunity, can come something better than you ever expected. God's interruptions are an invitation, and his plans are better, his purposes are higher, and he wants us to simply be obedient. Will you surrender? Will you surrender? Will you submit to the plans of the Lord? Let's bow our heads this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, right now in this moment, this is a defining moment for some that are here. You've been speaking to them throughout this entire message. Some, Lord, have been interrupted. Some, Lord, are in that place where they have been saying, God, I don't see how this is going to work. They've known for a while what they need to do and what the steps are. But just, Lord, there's that fear that holds us back from being able to truly surrender to you. And Father, today we come before you. Holy Spirit, remind us, search our hearts today. Encourage us today that today is the day to say yes. Today is the day to take the step of obedience. Today is today the day to walk where you're calling us to walk. Today is the day to see that interruption as an invitation. Today is the day to be encouraged to keep walking for what you've called us to. Oh God, right now, move in our hearts. Move in our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Do you need to surrender to the Lord today? Is he calling you to something? Are you wrestling with something? Is it calling you to a place of surrender? Is there a place of obedience? What's he calling you to today? What's he saying? Will you take a step of obedience today? Hallelujah. I know that we're right up against the clock, but I want to invite you today to come and to spend some time with the Lord. If that's you, if you're wrestling today and you need to wrestle with the Lord, I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come and to seek the Lord. I want to invite you to come and to seek Jesus today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anyone today the Lord's been speaking to your heart and you say, you know what, that's me. That's me. Will you just begin just by slipping up your hand and saying, Pastor, will you pray? That's me. That's me. Yeah. All across this place. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, right now, I just pray, Lord, for those that are in that place, that God, you've interrupted. You've interrupted. You've done some things that have interrupted their plans, and they're thinking this is impossible. And I don't, how can I just pray, Lord, that this time, that this would be a time of surrender. A surrender, a time of surrender. We just surrender. We surrender to you. We surrender to you. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Oh, will you just say that today? If that's you, will you call out to the Lord? God, I trust you. Father, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I trust you. I trust your plan. I trust your plan. I trust you. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to invite you to the altars today. Can we just stand and worship the Lord today? And again, I just want to invite you. Maybe you need just before you leave, just to take some time and just spend with the Lord. Will you just come to these altars? Will you just come and spend some time with the Lord today? Spend some time with Jesus this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we come, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord. We come, Lord. Hallelujah. We come, Lord. We seek you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We come, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We seek you, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord. All we are, Lord, we give to you. All we are, Lord. We seek you, God. We seek you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to worship the Lord. If you need to leave, you can do that. I want to keep these altars open, and we can just make this place a place of prayer this morning and just seek the Lord. You might need to surrender. You might want to just stay in the presence of the Lord a little while longer. Our kids' ministries will be okay. Let's seek the Lord this morning. But again, we're not going to just formally close today. If you need to seek the Lord, I want to encourage you to do that as we worship the Lord today. You're welcome to come and seek the Lord around these altars this morning.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.